George Gluck, running. I'm the Green Party candidate for Congressional District 6 in Maryland.
Why should I vote for you?
Well, I'll be the only progressive on the ballot. My hope is that in this year of the blue wave or blue tsunami, possibly, it's clear that progressives are coming to the fore, coming to vote, demonstrating everything else. So as the only progressive on the ballot, I'm hoping to get the at least plurality of the votes.
So what makes you different? What makes you that progressive? And what would make you how would you justify to people casting a ballot for you?
Okay, number one, clearly the Republican and Libertarian would eschew being called progressive. David Trone has promised, if you look up, and I can send this to you if you'd like, if you look up his introductory video when he first started running before the primary, in the first 13 seconds, he says he will follow in the footsteps of his close friend, John Delaney. And if you look at the votes that John Delaney cast on things like health care and banks and security, the like, he has cast many, many dozens of votes with the one Republican representing Maryland in Congress, Sandy Harris, many times just the two of them. So if David Trone does as he's promised, and I have no reason to doubt him, he will vote the same way, and that will mean, I will be the only progressive on the ballot. And in addition to that, as I predicted last October, Mr. Trone won with 40% of the vote. That means 60% of the Democrats, the primary, 60% of the Democrats were not happy with the thought of having him be our congressman. So I'm hoping that I get the lion's share of those 60% of the Democrats who probably feel, as I do, I hope, that I'm, again, the only progressive on the ballot.
What motivates you to run when everyone sort of just assumes that the Democrat or Republican is going to win?
Okay, well, this is the sixth time I've run for office over the last decade. I'm running for my grandkids. I don't know if you're married and have kids or not, but I'm running for the next generation or two. I clearly won't, at age 72 if I win, I'm clearly not going to make a career of this. But I consider myself a 1968 Democrat. That's when I registered to vote, and I was looking at a Congress and a president that passed anti-poverty legislation, voting rights legislation, civil rights legislation. I felt very comfortable being a Democrat and voting for Democratic candidates, although I started to feel a little queasy about that during the 70s and early 80s. I still gave time and money to Clinton, the first time he ran in 1992, I went downtown to help and I donated to his campaign. But when he signed NAFTA, that was it for me. I could no longer be a Democrat. They left me. I was still then in 1968, and I still am a 1968 Democrat, but the Democrats aren't. Back then around 1996, and even today, I looked around and the Green Party then and now, as far as I'm concerned, are the 1968 Democrats. So I am still running as a Green, but also as a 1968 Democrat, and running for my grandkids, as I said.
So what would that really mean if you overcame the odds and won and went to Capitol Hill? How would you translate that into actually acting on a particular issue that might make a difference for people in the 6th District?
If you look, there's a 2 years ago, there was a survey made of people across the political spectrum, and all the questions that were asked, I can send you a link to this if you'd like, people answered them as if they were progressives. They weren't told that these were, you know, what they said, which side of this issue do you fall on? And for like three dozen issues, tuition, schools, money out of politics, Medicare for all such things, the vast majority, more were progressive than not. I'll send you the link. You'll see the green side is a progressive side. Oddly, that's the color they used. I fall on the green side for every one of those three dozen questions. So I think I will be the only candidate that will best represent the majority, the vast majority of people in the district.
You've been out, obviously, talking to some people. Do you feel like you have a bigger boost than the past times you've run for office? Or does it have something to do with President Trump? Or do you feel like, you know, people are so committed to Democrats in response to Trump, who you're trying to appeal to?
So, number one, I have not had funds, certainly not nearly the funds that Mr. Trone has available to him. But what I have, the other asset I have had, is time. So over the last decade, I've met with many more potential voters. And last Monday, for example, I met with a number of young people who had a forum at Clarksburg High School. And so I'm energized by the fact that, and this is absolutely a fact, more people are now registering as non-Republican, non-Democrat, more than a third, than either one of the major parties. So that too is an indication that we're headed in a new direction. And as I said, when people turn in that direction, and at least in CD6, the only person they'll see is me.
From the President Trump perspective, have you seen any impact on what you've been hearing personally as far as whether people are more open to you or more concerned about voting for you?
Well, yeah, I've seen even Republican leaders leave the Republican Party. I think you've probably seen it too on MSNBC, et cetera. There are lots of folks who were staunch Republicans in the past who are leaving. Whether they'll vote for me, those people will vote for me or not, I'm not sure, but maybe they at least won't vote for the Republican, since the Republicans in Congress are all lockstep behind President Trump. So those folks who are abandoning the president, those Republicans will probably abandon any Congress people who are running for office, Republicans running for office that back the president.
What do you say to people who are concerned that a vote for someone who is not a Democrat or Republican is throwing away a vote? How do you explain to them that they should still vote for you?
Okay, number one, I don't think that's true. I'll explain how to fix that after we're all done with this. But number one, this is still the United States of America, and anybody who cares to vote however they want to vote, even write in, should be allowed to without fear. Number two, I don't think anybody has any reason to believe that Green Party members, for example, would vote for anybody but me. Also, a large number of people, as I said, a third of the folks are not registering Democrat or Republican. There's no reason for Mr. Trone to believe that he has any right to those votes more than I do. And thirdly, that question is asked of me, but it should also be asked. So basically what the question means is, Mr. Gluck, if you weren't running, wouldn't Mr. Trone win? And that is meant to put fear in the hearts of Democratic voters, Democratic people who are registered Democrat, as Democrats. And it's unfair. People should not vote their fears. They should vote their conscience. That question, the same question should be asked of Mr. Trone. Mr. Trone, don't you feel if you weren't running, Mr. Gluck would win? And the answer is clearly yes, in my opinion, and probably in others' opinions as well. So one of the things I've been telling folks who are Democrats is this. I hope you'll quote me on this one. I leave them with this question. Who would you rather have represent you, a Democrat who spreads green or a green who spreads democracy? And I firmly believe that. And my hope is that people will not vote their fears, but vote their consciences, and that I will get, my guess is that 37 or 38% might be enough to win in this four-person race. And I think it's possible. I'm hoping it will be. I'm doing my best to knock on doors and greet people on the street and in forums, and hopefully folks who hear this will listen and, in fact, vote their consciences. And if that doesn't work, and I don't think this is the case, I don't think Ami Hobart will get enough to win no matter what, but if that's not the case, the solution is one I've been trying to foster for 10 years, and again, I can send you a link of me talking to our representatives in Annapolis last November, telling them that they must institute ranked choice voting or instant runoff voting, whichever you'd like to call it. And I told them that if they didn't, and two of them that I was speaking to were running in the primary, Runa Miller and Roger Mano, and I specifically addressed myself to them, and I didn't know how many people. As it turned out, there were seven folks opposing David Trone in the primary. At that point, I didn't know how many, but I said, what would happen is those who are opposing the conservative and would like to call themselves progressives will share the vote, and the least progressive among them, I didn't name Mr. Trone, but that's who I meant, would get 40% of the vote and win with that. And as it turned out, I think he got 40.3% of the vote and won. So 60% of the Democrats were not happy with the results. And I, on the night of June 23rd, I was watching Facebook and I saw these people. In fact, I had a couple of them send me messages saying they'd like to help me in my campaign. These were registered Democrats who voted for someone other than Trone. So again, I think I have a shot at it this year, certainly better than in the past. And although I doubt it'll happen, I think your fear, the one that your listeners will hear with that question, I don't think that will come to pass anyway. But if we want to avoid that in the future, we should institute ranked choice voting. We're beginning to see it happen. There are cities, countries, we use it, the Green Party uses it for our votes, our elections, and the city of San Francisco, for example, uses it. We used it here in Maryland in the primaries 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago. It's time to institute it again.
And you have it in a couple of the cities in the, for their local elections in Maryland, too, now.
Yes, that's true. Tacoma Park and others, right.
Are there any specific issues that you try to leave voters with that you would really go in and make a difference on if you had a term in Congress that you'd be really focused on, transportation or anything else that is a major issue around here?
Well, all of those issues are important, but none of those will, you know, we can't make any headway with most of those until we get money out of politics, because there have been studies made and the donor class essentially gets what they want. They manage to buy Congress. And in fact, they manage to buy people at the state, at state houses, and now they're going down to, you know, county and city councils. So the main thing to do is to get money out of politics. I'd love to see public funding for public elections. If we could do that, you know, get rid of Citizens United. Clearly, corporations are not people, and money is not speech. And I'd like to go a step further, as I just said, and in fact, use public funds and only public funds to finance our elections.
Was there anything else you wanted to add?
That's about it. I feel like I'm the only progressive choice, and I'm ready. I wasn't ready 10 years ago when I started this, but I'm ready to serve now. And as I said to these students at Clarksburg, I'm not going to make a career of this. I expect one of them to take my place in 2, 4, 6 years, whatever it is, whenever they're ready. And I sent them an email the next day pointing out the fact that on the West Coast, by the way, yeah, that's another thing, one last thing. We have there are Green Party members in national legislatures all over the world. We're about the only one Western country that doesn't have one. And I think it's going to happen eventually. My hope is that it happens now in Maryland rather than a couple years from now in California.